Mark chapter 2. Now, if you'll remember, we're reading Mark, this book of Mark, as though Jesus is teaching us something, right? We're not reading it for the storyline. We're reading this book from the viewpoint of a disciple. First part of chapter 1, we saw where Jesus called his disciples. He said, "Follow me, and I'll what? Make you fishers of men." That's our goal. And as we look through this book of Mark on Sunday evenings, and I realize there's a lot of breaks on Sunday evenings. I understand that. But there needs to be breaks. And I need to give other people the opportunity to preach. And I want to do that. But also I want to maintain this mindset, okay, as we take a look at the book of Mark. Mark chapter 2, verse 13. Will you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? "Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him." And of course, we're talking about Jesus here. "All the multitude came to him, and he taught them. And he passed by," or as he passed by, "he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining at Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many. And they followed him. And when the scribes of the Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to the disciples, 'How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Scott Gately, would you lead us in prayer, please? Brother Scott.
"Father, we humbly come before you this evening. We ask that you open our hearts, our minds, our ears, and hear the word that you have prepared for tonight. Father, you sent your Son for us as we study about how he has lacked in the time. Help us to see something that again is truly meaningful for us, not just words, something that we take into our heart. Father, as we
Amen. You may be seated. All right. Now, once again, as we look from the viewpoint, Jesus is teaching us how to be fishers of men. And we find Jesus in the position where he sees a man named Levi sitting at the tax collector's office, or at the tax office. And he said to Levi, "Follow me." Now, that doesn't sound real profound until you stop and you think about what Jesus did with his disciples, watching what he did. Levi, you see, what was Levi? Tax collector. Levi was a tax collector. As such, Levi was someone that a good, any Jew, self-respecting, upstanding Jewish man would not have given Levi the time of day. Why? Because he's a tax collector. Nobody liked taxes. And of course, the Jews certainly did not like paying taxes to their occupiers, the Roman government. Levi was a tax collector, and he would have been one of the most hated of the culture. Why? Because he's a tax collector. He was the most looked down upon. I mean, you know, have you ever seen people that society just kind of frowned at, and you just knew they felt that person's below them? That's Matthew or Levi here, okay? And I wonder, as I read this, I wonder how many people paid their taxes to Levi and never spoke to him. I mean, let's face it. If you were to look at the IRS man when we send in, you know, at April 15th, if you were to sit before an IRS man, would you write out your check, tear it out of your checkbook, lay it in his hand and say, "By the way, how are you doing today?" No, you probably wouldn't. You'd probably be like everybody else. You'd write the check and say, "Here you go." Levi, that's what a man like that would have expected. Okay? He would have been avoided like the plague. Nobody ever spoke to him until Jesus. And Jesus said, "Follow me." But by that statement, he said it was a lot more than "follow me." You know what Jesus was saying? He was saying to this hated man, whom no one would have given the time of day, he's saying, "Levi, you're worthy of my time. You're worthy for me to interact with. I want to spend time with you. Come on, follow me." Just by those two little words. You know, and I thought about that. I thought, man, we today have lost the art of speaking to people. Now you think about it. How many people do you see each day but never interact with them? For example, how many people have you went through Walmart at the checkout counter at Walmart? And now you may say, "How you doing?" But you never hear. You never stop and listen. Or Kmart. Or the grocery store. How many people do you stop and just look at them and say, "Hey, how are you really doing today?" And you make eye contact with. And they know by your action that you want to hear what they have to say. You see, I don't know, we used to be better at it than we are now. We're so busy and so consumed with our own life. But I want you to stop and think that that person that you pass over and that you fail to really interact with just might be the person that everybody fails to interact with. They just might be that person who needs to hear, "Hey, you're worth my time. I want to take just a moment and listen to what you have to say." You say, "Oh, Brother Doug, it's no big deal." But look at what happened when Jesus took that time and he said those two words, "Matthew, Levi, follow me. Come on, come go with me." When he expressed an interest, look what happened. Verse 15, and it happened as he was dining at Levi's house. Levi followed him. And took him home, took him to his house, and gave him, and he had a meal with Levi. And it wasn't just Levi. It happened as he was dining at Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. And for there were many, and they followed him. Levi followed. All of Levi's buddies followed. You know what happened? Not only did Levi see Jesus interacting with him, but other outcasts of that day saw Jesus interacting with Levi. You know what they said? They said, "You know, if he'll speak to Levi, he'll speak to me also." And so everybody gravitated toward Jesus and the floodgates were open. And I find it amazing that there were a lot of religious people around at that time, but this was a whole group of society that was neglected. You know what the difference was between Jesus and the Pharisees? Well, there's a big difference. But you know, in interacting with people, you see, the Pharisees would have welcomed Levi into their religious system as soon as Levi gave up his job, renounced his position, and then approached them. Saying, "Can I be part of you?" But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, "Follow me." He never asked him to give up his tax job. He never asked him to repent. He said, "Just follow me." And you know, I thought about as I thought about that, I was reminded, you know, there are a lot of people out there that we may never interact with because we expect them to abandon the lifestyle that they're living before we speak to them. When the actual order should be, hey, let's speak to them and help them to come out of that lifestyle. You know? That's what Jesus did. He spoke to Matthew and said, come on, follow me. And it says that he followed him. That phrase where it says he followed him, it doesn't just mean he went with him. He became a disciple of Jesus. Because Jesus gave him the time of day. The same is true for the many other tax collectors and sinners. It says, and many followed Jesus. Same thing. It wasn't they just followed Jesus around. It was they become a disciple of Jesus. All because Jesus took the time to speak to them where they were and help them leave that lifestyle. Now, I'm not suggesting, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that the church should ever, you know, condone a lifestyle or change what we believe. No. But you know what? If we're going to be salt and light, we're going to have to expose those who are caught up in lifestyles and things that we don't agree with. We're going to have to expose them to the gospel. And the only way we can expose them to the gospel is to go where they are. And give them our attention. Let them know that we do care about them. Because that's all Jesus did. And that's the lesson he's teaching his disciples here. And I love the response of the scribes and the Pharisees. It says in verse 16, and when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? That how is it literally means why. They go to his disciples and why is Jesus eating and spending time with these rejects that we would dare not associate with? And Jesus' response was absolute genius. It says in verse 17, when he heard them, he said, those who are well do not need a physician. And boy, that should cut into all of us, you know? I mean, we want to spend time with those who don't really need a physician. And the reality is, when Jesus said this, he was talking about the Pharisees. You don't need a physician. They didn't realize that they needed help. And so Jesus couldn't help them. You know, there are some people you can't help. But you know who you can help? You can help those people who have a need. You know, if I'm sick, I'm talking really, if I'm sick, I'm going to go to the doctor. Why? Because I know I'm sick. And I'm going to seek help. But those who refuse to admit their sickness and acknowledge their sickness. I mean, there are those, have you ever known those that you just look at and you think, you need to go to the doctor. And they, oh, I'm fine. I'll wear it out. I'll get over it. And you think, no, you need to go to the doctor. And they're too hard-headed to go to the doctor. You know anybody like that? No, we don't know. That's what Jesus was saying. Those Pharisees were too hard-headed to minister to. But there was a group of people who knew they were sick. They were called tax collectors and sinners. That's why Jesus took the time to stop and say, hey, follow me. I want to spend time with you. Follow me. I'm going to eat with you today. Follow me. I want to know you. And you know, I'm reminded, as a preacher, as a pastor, and I'm not talking about within the church, but I'm talking about outside the church, life in general. You know, when people want to speak to me, they don't really want to talk to me when things are good. But when they've fallen on hard times, I don't know how often I've been grabbed by the arm and say, "Let me, I need to talk to somebody." I said, "Okay, let's go talk." And I go talk to them, and they're so receptive to God, you know? And they're so receptive to the gospel at that point. So receptive to the idea of repentance. You know, have you noticed? You may, where you work, I would be willing to bet that you have people like that. There are people who, don't push your old religion on me. I don't want to hear about what you did in church this weekend. I don't want to hear about what the preacher preached about. I don't want to hear that religious junk. But you let their life fall apart. And then what are they going to do? They're going to run to you. Hey, aren't you a Christian? Listen, when that opportunity comes, don't just listen to them. Minister to them. Tell them about Jesus. Because that's the cure they need. You know, when I go to the doctor because I'm sick, you know what I expect the doctor to do? I want him to give me something to make me better. I want a prescription of antibiotics or whatever it is that will help me to heal. You have the, you know, we as God's children have the prescription to fix every ail of our society. And that prescription is Jesus Christ. Look for those opportunities to minister to people. You know what Jesus was doing here? When he passed by the tax office, he was fishing. He was fishing. What is the first rule? And this is my rule, okay? First rule of fishing. I don't know if there's a fishing rule book, but if it were, this would be the first rule in my fishing rule book, okay? You will never catch a fish if you don't go fishing. Doesn't that make sense? You will never catch a fish if you don't go fishing. I can talk about all, you know, I love to fish and I bass fish or I catfish or but if I never go out here on the lake, I'm all talk. Here's the challenge. Let's go fishing. Let's be intentional. That's what he's teaching his disciples. Hey, here's a guy nobody else talks to. This is a perfect guy. He's dying to talk to somebody and nobody will talk to him. You know, I'll talk to him. Next week, you may encounter a co-worker who comes to you with the problem of their life falling apart. Fish. Tell them about Jesus. Next week you may be at a gathering and it may be some kind of a celebration and you look around and there's just one guy that's all by himself that everybody else seems to have overlooked. Go talk to that guy. You may be checking out at the drugstore. Just take an opportunity to look that person in the eye and say, "How are you doing today?" And you know, practice one of Ken Worthing's rules. When you're checking out at Kmart, look at them and say, "Here, let me give you this gospel tract. Have a blessed day. We'll never catch if we don't fish. And we'll never fish if we don't start looking for the opportunity." You maybe hear somebody talk about church. Tell them about yours. I love Luke chapter 5. I love the story where Jesus, the multitudes are crowding him, and Jesus, he's on the seashore of Galilee, and he gets in a boat, and it's Peter. Peter's boat. He tells Peter, "Push out from the bank just a little bit." And so Peter pushes out from the bank and Jesus teaches the multitude from Peter's boat. And after Jesus teaches the multitude, he turns to Peter and he says, "Peter, launch out into the deep." And what? You remember the story? "Let down your net." Peter looks at him and says, "Jesus, we fished all night. And we have caught absolutely nothing. How many times have you looked at people and thought, they're not going to listen to what I have to say? How many times? They're hopeless. Nobody's ever going to reach them. Peter looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, we fished all night and we hadn't caught a single fish. Nevertheless, and I can just see it, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. Peter lets down the net. You know what happened? You know the story. The nets were filled. They were filled so full that the nets began to break. And Peter had to call on the seashore, hey guys, come help. The nets are breaking. And guys come from the shore and they have just an amazing catch. You know where it started? It started with Peter, let down your net. If you never let down your net, you'll never catch anything. If you never fish, you'll never catch a fish. And if you never look for those opportunities that God sets before you, you'll never be a fisher of men. Look for that opportunity. Okay? Look for that. Look for that tax collector this week. And let that person know, hey, I want to spend time with you. I want to hear what's going on in your life. Most importantly, I want to share Jesus Christ, who's the most important thing in my life. You may be here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Beloved, let me just share with you. You need to be saved. I'm not saying that being saved, you know. Sometimes we paint being saved as all one big party and we just all skip around and we never have any problems. Oh, that's wrong. That's not the truth. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather face the problems of this life with Jesus than without Him. The Bible describes Him as being closer than a brother. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Are you a child of God? If not, this invitation is for you. If you are a child of God, I hope this message challenges you. Let's go fishing. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of looking into your word and learning, Lord, as your disciples. We want to learn. Just as if we were on that Sea of Galilee and in that boat, we want to learn those same lessons that you taught your disciples. Teach us, Lord. Give us willing hearts, a desire, Lord, to be fishers of men. I pray that if there are those in this service tonight who do not know you as their personal Savior, I pray that tonight's the night. They'll come to know you for salvation. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.